2 in the row, City. Time for Drinks Break on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Hello. Friday, everybody. Good morning.
What is happening?
Hope your Fridays are off to a great start.
It's off to a delightful start. How are we doing over there, buddy?
We're doing all right.
We're doing okay today.
Nice little Thursday. I had a lot of guilt. Felt terrible. I was like, I don't know why this is happening. It's a good thing, but you know, I don't know if it should be happening to me.
Are happening to the Sprague's right now.
Well, the Sprague's, I don't know. The Sprague, yeah.
The Sprague. Good things are happening to the Sprague.
It's just, it's a very uncomfortable, awkward spot to be. I've not been in the spot before here on the radio program, but here I am this morning, you know.
Did you get a major award or something?
Well, no, but I might as well have, you know, you get somebody else, you get something what somebody else wants, you can kind of view that as a major award.
Okay.
Yesterday I had...
What happened? Tell me. Spill the beans. What's going on?
I had the Duck Alumni Association reach out and ask if I wanted to go speak to the Oregon football team. And I went, I almost was like, you got the right guy?
Are you sure about that?
And I was like,
you're going to go talk to the football team, huh? You're going to give a little pep talk?
Well, they were like, look, we understand that while these kids are trying their hardest to be professional football players.
Yes, there's a possibility that that doesn't happen for them in life.
Many of them, whether they want to hear it or not, are not going to have that option. And so we thought you'd be a good candidate to come down and give them an idea of what the media climate could be.
How does it work in media? Go give them the spiel, man. Go give them the talking to.
I ended up not being able to because the schedule, like, it starts at like 11 and it's in Eugene.
It's not going
to
work out.
But I was like, anything you want me to do on Zoom, you let me know. I'm happy to help the Oregon Duck football program anytime you need.
Look at you being a good teammate here, all right? You go ahead and take one. Take that beaver gear off. You put your green and yellow on. We all know you're a Duck Honk privately anyways. You're
what an opportunity.
What a great opportunity to go help America's youth and give them some feedback on winning national championships.
Let's just say this. They didn't close the idea of me being on a Zoom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now.
Still a possibility.
If I end up doing a Zoom and I talk to that football team, whoever the hell it is, and they win the national championship.
You going to take credit for that? This is your Mark Cuban. I paid for Fernando Mendoza. The reason, you know what put you over the top? Remember back in May?
Sprague.
Remember that?
Talking to those guys.
Remember that Zoom meeting we had where I gave you the spiel about working in media someday when your football career flames out? You're welcome. Baby.
We're going to have to redo the top five duck beef list.
We might have to.
Platypus list.
If you lead them to a national championship via your Zoom meeting with the guys who are interested in media, you're cracking the top five.
Oh, I think I'm in the top three.
I don't know about better than Autzen.
It'd be their first national championship. Yeah. It'd be me,
it'd be huge.
Dan Lanning, and Autzen.
Or get the
we don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass.
And I don't know if I'm above or below Dan Lanning.
You're
right. Look what he's been doing without me talking to the team.
He's
flaming out big time. If I talk to the team,
can't win a big playoff game.
That's a game changer right there.
this is the missing ingredient we've been waiting for.
What did it?
This is the secret sauce that we've needed for years to put us over the top. What took them so long to figure this out?
It was all nine third and fourth string football players listening to the media spiel. By one great beef, Brandon Sprague.
Oh, this is fantastic. That is absolutely hilarious.
It was the funniest thing I'd gotten.
Did you do like a double take of like, wait a minute, what?
I thought it was spam. The message came in and I'm like,
seems a little spammy. There's no way.
Because it starts in like a very spamish way. Good afternoon, Brandon.
Hello.
Comma. Space, space, space.
Space, space, space.
I am such and such with such and such, such and such. And I'm like, this is going to be some weird thing. And I keep reading. I'm like,
are you asking for me for a donation? I didn't even go here.
That's what I was wondering. Right. I don't like.
Care to chip in $100 to help our NIL funding for the men's basketball program right now?
Do you like the license plate cover Duck Athletic Fund when it's on your car?
Ooh.
You can get one too. Step on down.
Are you a duck of a feather right now? Are you a duck of a different feather?
Put your
feathers on, buddy.
I couldn't believe it was real. I started laughing. I'm like, they must have not been able to find his email. I was going to text you about this. I'm like, you know, I'm going to save this for the show.
Save it for on air. That's perfect.
Save it for the show.
That's absolutely fantastic. I've had different things from the Alumni Association reach out, and I usually don't respond to them in very typical dirt fashion of like, hey, do you want to come be a part of a watch party or a certain event? And I'm just like, nah, I'm okay. Thank you, though. I appreciate the effort. I always love it. Hey, send your flare up into the air. I enjoy that. But no, I will be watching the game at home in my underwear yelling at the television. television.
Now, a follow-up question to this, of course, would be,
yes.
I was thinking about, like, what if I did do this,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they invited me to the lunch. They said, look, if you can't make it, you're more than welcome to come down to our luncheon.
Yes.
It's from 12 to 2.
Oh, they'll take care of you with the luncheon, too. You know there's going to be some good food there.
Am I going to drive 2 hours for a free lunch? I mean, you know.
It's one of the best things about covering any sort of Oregon event is they usually cater it, and they usually cater it very well.
I'm obviously a big deal down in Eugene right now, so, yeah, I got to think about this stuff.
You're a celebrity. We're 19th at Mid-Market local morning radio shows. Big deal down in Eugene.
18th,
thank you. My apologies. I shortchanged this by one spot.
But I was like wondering, would I be considered like a turncoat? Am I a Benedict Arnold?
Dude, Beaver fans, if they got wind of this, would never let you live it down.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
A separation of church and state situation?
I don't, unfortunately, think so for your case. Mm-hmm. I think if they got... Somebody would need to take a picture, and I would probably try and find a way to do it, of finding a way to snap a photo of the Zoom, and on one backdrop, it's a bunch of Oregon like gear and football players, and on the other side, it's you giving them a talk about media. And yeah, if that didn't hit the streets, man, if that got on Reddit, I don't think Beaver fans would let you live it down.
It's like me next to DeCorian Moore.
You and DeCorian Moore talking media.
Chopped up a podcast DeCorian hosted. I'll let you know what I thought of it.
You want to go into, Fox coverage of college football when your career is done? Let me tell you how to do it, buddy. You want to work in local radio? I can tell you about that, too.
The funny thing is the B1Gs, they're sniffing around the Sprague-dom.
Ah.
I got a random email about 2 months ago from an Indiana University student.
Okay.
I don't know how he got my email. I don't know why he has my email, but he got my like personal email and he emailed me asking like,
a
I'm not
student at Indiana,
like 10 paragraphs long.
Holy hell.
Yeah. It's an Indiana University student who wants to do media. And he's like, I've been following your career. And I'm like,
What? From Indiana?
And it's, yeah, he's got an indiana.edu.
Some African prince that's asking to buy an iPhone from you. This is a legitimate Indiana student.
Unless it's morphing into white kid who's trying to rip me off in crypto. I don't know.
That's the new way people are getting scammed now, is they find a way to spawn an email through your career and then personally send it to you to make you feel flattered and then end up responding to it.
Now, I don't know what...
That'd be pretty wild if that was the case.
I felt bad because I actually was going to respond this week. I have not responded.
It came
through when I was on vacation.
Look, this is because you're a duck. You're holding strong. Screw you, Indiana. Why am I helping you out?
Well, I think they...
Why don't you go talk to your own media, all right, with your stupid national championship over there?
I think they understand that I'm the B1G of this radio program.
You're the big one. You're the B1G. You're the main attraction.
And then I get this duck thing, and I'm like, do you know, I've been out of OSU. I graduated OSU in 2011.
They're still asking for money, though.
You're not wrong.
They're still asking. Match, $24 million. You got that in your pocket?
That's going to be 15 years next month, which is insane to me to think, because high school...
That's pretty wild.
...being a long time ago is like kind of normal in my brain, but still breaks at some point. College being 15 years ago is the I'm really old thing.
Yeah, I got that with high school being 20 years. I'm almost to that point, and that's a weird one for me.
Yeah, I hit that mark.
20-year, I'm not going to go to the reunion. It's just a weird thing to think about.
No doubt. But it's an odd thing that for 15 years, never at any one time, and I had a job where I covered the program. I was living in Corvallis after graduation.
Day in and day out, going to practice every day.
And not one time in 15 years has anybody in that athletic institution or university asked me to come talk.
No.
Now, I did just get interviewed by the new media communications people. But even then, they've since rebuilt the radio hall and media building.
They haven't named it after you yet?
They haven't
what
even,
else
like...
What other Beaver media members have done anything that are ranked 18th mid-market local morning radio shows?
I just would have thought that you would have, like, invited people of different fields who are doing media at Oregon City. Like, if you knew somebody doing digital, hey, bring them down. If you're doing something newspaper, bring them down. Never once. And yesterday I'm getting an invite from a Duck Alumni Association, and then I've got an Indiana student asking for help, and my own institution wants nothing to do with
it. No, they don't want to touch you with a 10-foot pole. It's all those weird questions you ask our guests. They're listening closely.
Is that what it is?
They're a little turned off by your weirdness in interviews.
But Oregon likes it.
Oregon's okay
Oregon
with
gets
it.
Down with the weirdness.
We get freaky down in Eugene. We do all a lot of drugs. It's what we. That's how we roll down there in the green and yellow.
Okay.
My favorite memory of talking, that's such a weird thing to get asked to do, because it does happen from time to time, of like, talk about your career. It's a very uncomfortable thing. I can't stand doing it. I've done it in front of like middle school groups, both on Zoom and in person. And the one I remember doing in person, you just sit there and you're like, there's like seventh graders across the table from you. And they're just looking at you with a blank stare. Because what were you thinking about when you were in seventh grade?
Boobs.
Not, right? Not what I'm going to do for, like, they don't want to be there. They're not, it's going in one ear out the other. And you could just tell you're losing the entire group. Yeah. Now it's just, it's not fun. I can't stand doing it.
Yeah.
But we used to do it occasionally with the Winterhawks back in the day where we would go and do like a little spiel.
I forgot about that.
About working in media because a lot of those guys don't end up playing in the NHL.
That's right.
We've had a number of them over the years who have been like, can we come shadow and pop in and, you know, curious about the industry. But my favorite story of that was very early in our career. I can't remember how old your daughter was, but it was very early.
She was two.
She was super young. And we went and did a talk. And I will
at
never.
At the VMC.
Dude, the one-liner that you had, you put her up in like a folding chair. Those ones that, like, if you lean too far back, the chair, like
it folds
it
down.
It folds
and
down
through.
And you fall through the chair. And your daughter was sitting in one of those chairs and she fell through the middle of the chair. And I'm pretty sure your line of the hockey team was, that's why you don't have kids. And everybody laughed. And it was pretty solid. But we've done those over the years, and every time we do them, it's like, this, I don't really know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, it's a little odd when it happens.
It's strange. Talking about your profession is a weird thing to do. I don't know if other people feel that. It's very weird for us.
Well, I love talking about my profession. What I find odd is more talking from my point of view of the profession. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Like,
yes.
If you have questions about media or radio, I'll talk all day with you about it.
Right, what it's like.
But then it's like...
So tell me about your journey.
Well, take the Indiana kid. He's like, hey, I'm going to graduate here soon, and, you know, I really want to get in, and your journey is really fascinating to me. It's a very different path that you've taken, and I want to know any advice you'd give. And I go, I just want to be like, try and get lucky.
Yeah, be at the right place at the right time.
I mean, like, you know, been fortunate enough to keep doing it, but... Yeah, some of this is just a lot of luck breaks your way.
How did you guys get into the industry? Well, stars aligned, people. That's about how it works.
Yeah, it happened. It doesn't really make any sense how it happened.
No, there's not a secret sauce. It wasn't an extra oomph of hard work that we did that other people didn't do.
Yeah,
we certainly worked hard, but it's just right place, right time.
Well, yeah. I mean,
filled out an application.
Yes.
Waited my turn. Got the call.
Yeah.
Ran away from there.
Yeah, here you are.
I mean, take like hantavirus, which is in the news, right? 40% death rate.
Oh, that's a fun pivot.
There was a 3-person show here. We're the two survivors.
That's true.
There was a third guy. He's no longer here.
We ate him. Lord of the Flies.
Well,
that's how it works, man. They say after 5 years, there's only two microphones
here. I'm
just
saying, like,
cage match, go.
Could have been dirt.
Very easily.
You know, obviously he did some stuff that led to the obvious removal there, but like it could have been one of us.
Very easily could have.
Who knows? I don't know why.
And somehow they're still paying me all these years later. I still show up every day.
They haven't figured it out quite yet.
I'm waiting for the checks to stop rolling in. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, at some point that key fob will stop beeping and I'll knock and Swag will come over and look at me. And I'll just walk away. He won't even explain anything. That's what's going to happen.
Not even wave. Just stand on the other side of the glass door. Let me in!
Well, no, I mean...
Sorry, I can't.
Speak of not wanting to be wanted, my last year at OSU, I was at a football game. And what I knew when I was a student was, meet the media people. Introduce yourself. Have them know you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't hesitate. I would go introduce myself to everybody. I wanted people to at least know who I was, right? Like, see me and say, oh, that's Brandon. And so I'm at the post game of an Oregon State football game. I'm with the beat writer at the time of the Oregonian, Paul Bucher, and I'm pretty tight with Paul Bucher at this point. We're good. And I'm talking to him and he's like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "I mean, ideally, I'd love to be a radio host. Like that'd be my dream."
Yes.
But, you know, I'll do whatever I can get. And coincidentally, Swag is walking by right as I'm saying this. And I recognize Swag. But Swag carried himself with an air of Mike Francesa. Like, he didn't stop and, like, shake hands and kiss babies. He was walking like, yeah, I wear sunglasses on television.
Do you know who I am?
Know who I am?
Do you know what I do with the fan? I'm Swag.
So I didn't say anything. Bucher stops him and says, hey, Jason. This is Brandon. He's a senior at OSU. He's graduating this year. And he's really,
Swagalicious.
He's really interested in radio. And Swag, I'll never forget, turns, looks me up and down.
Ooh.
I'm probably wearing, you know, inappropriate press gear.
Yes.
Right? I'm wearing slightly baggier clothes.
Gives you the head-to-toe look.
Gives me the head. I probably have my cubic zirconiums in.
This guy's wearing earrings.
Gives me the head-to-toe. I got a shaved head.
That's not how we roll.
And he goes, I'm Jason. You might know me as Swag. I'm on the primetime show.
Absolutely.
And I didn't want to say, like, I watch the show every day, but I was like,
I watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice to meet you. And he goes, I tell you what, you're interested. I can get you an internship.
He could. And he had the keys to the kingdom.
I said, that's great. What do I need to do? And he goes, just email me. And I go, okay. Got a pencil, paper? Yeah. I write down his email. I raced home that night.
Send an email immediately.
Shot off like a paragraph. So nice to meet you.
Jason Swigert.
Oh, you were so kind. Oh, I
love primetime. I watch every day.
Well, you know, I did. I watched
religiously.
It.
I watched it every day in college.
So I sent off the email. Never got a response.
Never even got back
not
to
even
you?
Got a no. Not a, it's not available. Didn't see him again
that
until
bastard.
The day I walked in.
Hey, look who's in here
and
now.
And I got hired as a part-timer. And I walked in and I went, you know, you never responded to my email. And he goes, are you sure about that? Yeah, dude. I'm pretty sure about that.
Pretty sure I would remember. As I'm trying to begin my career here, desperate for an internship opportunity for a foot in the door, I think I would remember whether you responded to my email or not.
So, yeah, that was my experience starting in the industry. That was the experience.
I'll take care of it. Send me an email. I got it. I'm on it. Don't worry about it, okay?
And then I saw his desk, and you see the porno mag stash.
Yeah, he's got the Playboys
and
underneath.
And then papers are just everywhere. You're like, I don't know if he actually did get my email at this
yeah,
place.
Yeah, it's in there somewhere. He just probably never got around to actually reading it. He used to hold the keys to the kingdom, though, in that regard.
He
like,
did.
We can't have interns anymore. It's a whole thing, but.
Because they got to get paid.
You got to get paid. Just,
what do you mean anymore?
Well, look.
We don't want to pay interns.
It worked for a lot of us to get our foot. I was an unpaid intern. I was an illegal intern, too. They could have deported me out of this building.
Was Dusty,
I just kept showing up.
Was Dusty an intern?
Dusty was an intern. Rop was an intern.
Okay.
Swag was technically an intern. Because he did like a work, not work release isn't the word I'm looking for, but he did like a
work release.
He did like a job shot. I can't remember what the name of it was. We'll ask him the story next week when he's back.
Can we call it work release?
Let's call it work release
okay,
for now.
We'll call it work release.
And he did like a let me shadow you for a couple of months, and then they hired him out of it basically.
And you got it.
I got it. So like a lot of us started as interns. So
that's four or five. Like, pretty prominent names at the station.
I get the idea of wanting to get paid. It certainly made sense. And at the time, I was living with my parents and had like $4 in my bank account. So, yeah, making minimum wage would have been certainly agreeable.
Yeah.
But it also led to a career. So I'm not that upset about it.
I would say, too, like in a weird way, he wasn't an intern, but I was the one that invited Danny Meringue on the first time to host
you were.
On the Fan.
It's a very similar thing.
Yeah.
You got to have a foot in the door somehow.
And boss man hears you do a show one time. That's all it can take sometimes.
Look at that. Now all of a sudden you got a radio career out of it.
There's five guys right there.
Now we hold the keys to the kingdom.
Oh,
is that what
that.
I'm learning out of this?
How about that?
Well, Swag, I mean, that used to be a powerful position because he was the guy who picked and chose the interns for whatever term or semester. And you needed to get in good with Jason Swigert. If you didn't, you would lose your chance at an internship.
Yeah.
Mine stopped, and I stopped getting credit, and I just kept showing up. Like, I really want to work here. It's kind of my dream job. I'm just going to keep showing up.
You just didn't leave, huh?
I just didn't leave. I pulled a Costanza.
They didn't even line up that you
Swag
had been
Swag did a thing
months.
Early in the next term, basically saying, we're going to need your, because I told him I'm doing it for another term. But I wasn't.
Wait, did you even ask him or you just said it like
I just
happening?
Said I'm doing it for another term. He was like, okay, well, I need the updated paperwork. And I said, you got it, dude. And I never brought it up again. And he never brought it up again. I just kept showing up. And then after a couple more months, they were like, you know, we could use another board op. Do you want to work here? Yeah, let's do it. And I got a job. Next thing, you know, I'm hosting a show, man.
There you go, kids. Lie your way in.
That's exactly
your spot.
How you do it.
Fast forward a calendar year
this
later.
This is why people are like, how did you get into the industry? It's like, well, you know, I'm just keep showing up, be a pain in the ass. They'll give you a job eventually.
I mean, to the point of we are the only two of the three left. We literally were in a meeting where we all got fired five times and me and him just kept sitting down. We're like, nope, we're not leaving.
Like, I'm not leaving, dude. I'm not getting fired for this.
And we're the ones that stayed. So I guess that is kind of the takeaway.
I didn't do anything here. All right. You can't fire me for this.
If I would have told intern Dirt that a year
on Monday.
From that point when he kept showing up illegally,
yes,
that he was going to be hosting a night show and his hands would be covering his stripper's nipples.
Hey.
What
hey.
A career.
That may or may not have never happened. You
I
never
have
know.
A photo on my
no,
phone.
No, it didn't happen. What are you talking about?
Not a happier guy in that photo than Dirt putting up like antlers. It's really just blocking the nipples of a stripper.
Well, you know, you got to keep it classy for social media.
You do.
You know, I mean,
she's topless in
we
a hallway.
Can't, we can't free that. On social media.
Exactly.
You gotta cover those things up, man.
Well, you know, Just, I guess it's a duck honk show now.
Somebody said that they wouldn't ask me to do it because I would talk to them for 30 seconds about radio and then start asking about the USC and Washington games.
That's probably accurate.
So when you guys go to LA at the end of September, how are we feeling? Are you following all the social media trash talk that's coming from USC fans?
You guys is too deep, pretty secure this year.
Who's that backup right guard? How are you guys feeling about that battle in spring, huh?
You're taking notes now, them.
Okay. Who's the nickel corner? Who's getting the start there?
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Let's get a little serious, I guess, with some sports stuff. We'll start in the NBA. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1, The Fan. The Fan Sports Network. Truly believe. By the way, today we have a fun addition added to the show. Probably sometime in the final hour, I'm guessing, we're going to have, it is our digital media guy's last day today.
Old Jakey, we're going to miss him, man.
Such man.
The such man.
And Jake is going to hop on. It's his dream to do radio, is what I have discovered. And so we're going to have one segment devoted to Jake's takes.
Jake's takes, final hour.
His top five sports takes, his walk-off, Jake's takes.
He's been cooking up his takes all week.
Kind of.
Every day I go out there and I'm like, you got a take? And he says, how about this one? And then he gives me a take and I say, all right, is that one of your five takes? He said, yep.
I was here till about noon yesterday. And when I left, I said, hey, big day tomorrow. Huh? Jake's takes.
Jake.
And he turns and I kid you not, he goes, holy crap, it's Thursday. And I went, yeah, dude.
Yeah, tomorrow.
You're on tomorrow.
You better cook them up tonight.
You better have five Jake's takes.
We're going to miss seeing him around the office, man. He's one of those goofy guys that just brings a smile to your face
good
when
dude,
you see
man.
Him. Very good dude.
Very He's happy done for him. But
an awesome job behind the scenes with all our YouTube stuff and cutting up videos and all that.
So it feels like this is something that's been asked before, but I'm going to ask it again because I was watching begrudgingly, as you guys know, on the text stream we had yesterday. I had the Cleveland and Detroit game on.
Yeah.
Though I will admit I was in the middle of a workout for most of the game, and so it's like, okay, I'm missing nothing.
Glance over, look at the score.
But I'm watching the end of this game because it got kind of close, and yeah, it's kind of comes down to Cade Cunningham was awesome, and Donovan Mitchell didn't score much, and James Harden is turning the ball over. And I'm sincerely asking this. I'm starting to believe, if I didn't already,
mm-hmm.
that he truly is a one of one. That he is all-time sports history. We don't have an athlete that comps to him. You can give me examples of great athletes.
Sure.
Like, we're talking MVP here.
Yeah, we're talking a guy who's considered one of the best scorers from not only all-time, but certainly from his generation.
Like, you can tell me A-Rod, and then the easy counter is 09. He got redemption in 09. You can say Barry Bonds. He didn't win the title in 02. But he was
unbelievable.
One of the greatest players in a World Series we've ever seen.
Yes.
You can tell me Charles Barkley didn't win a ring either, and he went to the finals once. Yeah, but Charles Barkley was mother bleeping awesome. He wasn't most turnovers in eight, nine playoff games all time.
He ran into Jordan in the Bulls and couldn't get over the hump in an NBA Finals. This is the Detroit Pistons who almost lost to an 8 seed in the first round.
There are two players looming here that might be in the category, but we have to let their careers play out. I think in sports history, I couldn't come up with another player to the caliber of Harden that, like, unless he joins and he's a Tracy McGrady on a Spurs bench that nobody remembers.
I still don't think that'll change the narrative, though, because for a lot of the guys that you bring up, A-Rod is the prime example of this. He was their, now, I don't know if he was their best player. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. But he was one of the driving forces of them winning a championship.
He was their best player.
It wasn't like, I think there was other guys who maybe led him in statistical categories here or there. It was a very deep team, but he was awesome that entire postseason run. So if you're coming off the bench and scoring 6 points per game and you win a title doing that, you're not going to get credit for that.
No.
That won't happen.
No, but if you hit a big like Gary Payton did this for Miami, he hit a huge shot in
game. But he also wasn't known as a guy who always choked in the postseason.
No,
like he certainly ended up having his role and won a title in Miami. I'm glad he finally got one.
Also not a league MVP.
No, he was a very good player, one of the best defensive guards we've ever seen, but it wasn't to the level of being the best player in the NBA, which James Harden has been considered from time to time throughout his career.
So the two players that I have on my radar
for
this, and I don't think it's fair, but I'm just going to throw it out. Lamar and Josh Allen are sitting in this right now.
Yeah, they are. Two guys who have won MVPs. Like, Herbert's another one who's had really bad postseason success, but he hasn't won an MVP yet.
No, you
if he
have
wins
to be
an MVP and you get to that point, then you can throw him into that category.
Yeah.
But he's not there yet, and Lamar and Josh have both won an MVP, both had multiple chances and bites at the apple, if you will, and they've come up short.
Yeah.
Whether it's their fault or not entirely, it's not always completely their fault, but they've had bad moments, including last year in a playoff game that Buffalo probably should have won. Josh Allen just couldn't stop turning the ball over.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, Lamar in Buffalo 2 years ago, like, he had a horrendous start. He had the fumble, and he came back, and they got close, but
Andrews
drops the ball, and there you go. There's the label. So I think he's really, truly one-of-one in sports. I couldn't come up with another that's had those kind of accolades that is this. And he's been this for a long time, but it just, like, literally him turning the ball over is ending the game for Cleveland again. And I'm how, man?
Yeah, they overturned the Thompson three, and so you're like, game over. Oh, let's review it. Nope, that three didn't count.
Didn't count.
Now you're back into the game. There's a minute to go or however much time is left, and he dribbles around for 15 seconds and turns it over. Like, that's how you went down. It just
terrible.
Was it was fitting. And I don't even really know how to begin to put my finger on it. It's one thing to not have good numbers or to regress slightly in the postseason. It's a limited possessions. Defense is a little more challenging, right? They scheme up different things against you because you're seeing the same team over and over again. That all is understandable. It's another thing to be, like, almost unplayable. And he felt unplayable. Like, he's already a sieve on the defensive end. He's never done anything on that end of the floor his entire career. What outweighs that is his ability offensively. And he's not shooting well. He's turning the ball over a ton. Mm-hmm. He's just throwing one hand weak passes like it's a rec league game on a Tuesday night at the YMCA. I don't know how to compute in my head how you're not more serious and in control of your game and with the basketball. You're not always going to light the world on fire making shots. It's an embarrassing level of basketball right now. And it's hilarious to see, because when they made the trade, I thought, that's the gamble? You're leaning in on James Harden in the postseason? Good luck with that. It's not like everybody else on their roster is playing great. Mobley's been really bad for them. Mitchell, you can look at the points and say, well, he had X amount of points. It was not efficient. He took a ton of shots last night. And James Harden is unplayable. Like, it's a collective effort, but Harden's the one we're all going to circle and point at.
I mean, I do look at the collective here. Harden is the guy that's circled for the obvious turnover reasons, but I do look at that roster, and I was thinking about this at the end of that game, because Cade Cunningham was really good in the fourth quarter. He hit some big shots.
Yes, he was. He was efficient, too.
And I'm like, if you rattled off the best players in the series, just not the team, the best players, so you'd probably start with Cade Cunningham.
Have to.
Donovan Mitchell would be second.
Yep.
Who's your third?
Tobias Harris?
I mean, the way he's playing right now,
he's
been good for them.
So what you guys are doing is different than what I'm doing. You're playing who's played best in the series.
Mm.
If I gave you,
like,
as
a fantasy draft
as
or
an
a GM,
NBA GM to pick all these guys, who would the third player be? Probably Mobley? Allen?
Mobley.
I mean, would you rather have Mobley or Durin?
Right. Well, but my whole point of this is, like, there's more Cavs than there is Pistons.
Yes, I see the point.
And the Pistons certainly can continue to build this as a youngerish team.
Right.
But I think watching Cleveland kind of be this, and part of this is the James Harden problem, just watching Evan Mobley do nothing is crazy to me. Jarrett Allen, I mean, do we not remember what he did to Donovan Klingon? He had like 20 points in the first quarter against us.
I do remember that.
Donovan Mitchell is an awesome first-team All-NBA guy. James Harden is a league MVP, and yeah, it's year 17. He's had a good year statistically.
Yeah, when they acquired him at the deadline, they took off a little bit.
Watching them be this inept is like, this is some of the ugliest basketball I've seen since the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I hate watching this series, but I'm watching this almost too like watching a car crash. Like, how are you guys this bad? What are you doing?
He was 3 of 13.
No disrespect to Detroit.
But I can't believe
Detroit's making them look this awful.
I mean, it's a physical team in Detroit, and Cleveland doesn't have
matching the cojones
to match up with that. Yeah. And I will just say this. I see your point on Cleveland's roster. I also hope that guys like Evan Mobley serve as a warning to how we feel about players early in their career.
Dude.
And the thought and the projection of what they can become. When we're looking at two of our big, quote-unquote, big three right now, it's Denny Avdia, it's Kamara, and it's Klingon. What are the two big questions about Kamara and Klingon in the years to come? Where does their offensive game go?
What's their ceiling?
Does it get better on that end of the floor?
Yeah.
We did that for Evan Mobley for 3 years. Look how good he is defensively. Look how rangy he is. Man, when he puts it together offensively, look out. He's unplayable right now. He can't space the floor. He can't make a shot. He only how many rebounds did he have last night? He had, in 36 minutes, Evan Mobley had one rebound.
How many blocks did he finish with? Two?
Three.
Three.
Three okay. blocks, one rebound.
And that's the thing is even
turn the ball over twice.
Even his defense, like
4 of 10.
His big thing is he's the defensive prowess guy. And I'm watching this, and I'm like,
no, you're not.
I mean, you're good, you're but fine. Like, you're not amazing. And if you're not amazing and you right. can't do anything on offense,
that's an issue.
Yeah.
It's 4-on-5, as we've seen many times over the years.
There's
so
no
that's
doubt.
Another big red flag of we always think we know where this is going to go, and it's never a concrete thing.
Do you guys agree? He is kind of a one-on-one.
I'm having a hard
history.
Time coming up with another one. Like, there's other guys like Romo kind of had that label, but he never won an MVP.
Not an MVP. You got to think MVP level players in whatever sport you're going to come up with.
Yeah.
To come up not only just short, but like truly throw up on yourself. That's his postseason career.
Yeah, the two other comps would have been Bonds and A-Rob, but they both had a run eventually where they led their team and they were dominant.
We noodle on that. Let's get to the other side. I think America is starting to hate this, and it's kind of crazy considering what's involved. We'll get to that on the other side coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan. Third Eye Blind sings this, huh?
Damn right they do.
Also, I wouldn't have never guessed the name of this song. I would have just described it as like, I will understand.
This song had a moment in time.
It's still a banger.
I mean, it's still a banger, but it was a moment in time.
What are we doing here?
Somebody texting in Trout. I just don't think he's been in the playoffs enough.
He hasn't had enough of
like
a
he's
sample
been
size.
One time. Another one that he texted into was Clayton Kershaw, which I think is a better comp, but Kershaw eventually got the
himself.
Ring.
Yeah.
He wasn't, I mean.
He had a moment.
Did he?
That first one?
Did he have a moment?
Yeah.
The COVID one was their first one. What did he, I don't remember what he did.
You don't remember the 7-inning
Did he end up having
run?
A good game? I mean, I blocked that out. I didn't want to see the Dodgers ever win a World Series, so
I'm just making. I feel like I watched him have a moment
when
though.
They lost to Houston. I remember him getting shelled in a pivotal game, and then they
Kershaw's won. A good one.
He might have had a moment. I mean, he's got a couple of rings now because he was on the team all the way until last year, so he's got three of them. So it's not. But that's a really good comp of a guy who every year would dominate and then get to the postseason, and that like, what are you doing?
So his only win. Since 20, okay, wait, this is very odd.
Look at a baseball reference.
Dude, baseball reference.
6:46
Do you know how
Gase,
you know how baseball reference is sorting this out?
How are they sorting it out?
Game score.
Game score, okay. What's his game score?
Do you even know what game score is?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of this
how
in my
you
life.
Calculate it and what it means. What is a good
you
game score?
You start with 50 points.
Okay.
You add 1 point for each out recorded. So 3 points for every complete inning pitched. You add 2 points for each inning completed after the fourth.
What are we
you
doing?
Then add 1 point for each strikeout. You subtract 2 for each hit, subtract 4 for each earned run allowed, and then you subtract 2 for each unearned run, subtracting 1 for each walk.
Oh, okay. That's totally easy to follow.
What are we doing
How
here?
About he went 7 innings, gave up 2 hits, 1 run, and struck out 8? Wow, that's a good start. But what's his gamer score? Why are there so many nerds in sports?
So, let's see. 2020 was their World Series?
That was their
first one,
yeah. Then they won the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That was their Disney clown title.
So, like, here we go. He got a win against Houston. He did. Actually, coincidentally, okay. I was right. It was 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run.
There you go. So he had a moment.
He had
a,
well,
7 innings and 1 run's a moment in the World Series. I'll give it to you.
Wait, did they win or lose against Houston in 2017?
2017, they lost.
It's the trash can series.
That's the trash can series.
Right.
They lost
it's
game 7 on their
series.
Home field.
Well, he got a win in that series.
He did, and then he went back to Houston with a start with a chance to take like a 3-1 series lead, and he got smoked.
Yeah, maybe it's Kershaw then.
But Kershaw has 3 rings. Again, to the point, and I don't know
but,
if he was
is
the
it,
driving force.
Is it 3 rings the way we talk? Like, literally, Tracy McGrady was a Spur. He never played. He was in street clothes on the bench. Yeah. Nobody knows that.
And he got a ring.
And he got a ring.
I had no idea that Tracy McGrady had a ring.
I think it was the 2014 Spurs team.
That's super late, too.
Yeah.
He hung around for a while.
He's just sitting at the end of the bench in a suit. I remember
that's different.
I
mean, that's not a Tracy McGrady ring, but it's a if you were pitching and you were you know performing on the mound at an okay level, I think you'd get the monkey off your back. I'll give it to him. I'll allow it.
All right.
Harden 101.
I think America kind of like universally hates the Thunder.
Come on down, buddy. The water's warm. Swim around in my pool.
Now, I'm not telling you they're super stoked rooting for LeBroni and the Lakers. I think that is kind of the reason that there's probably some pushback to some of this. I found that game utterly disgusting to watch as a sports fan and basketball fan. Every 3 seconds, it felt like in the fourth quarter.
Beep.
Whistle.
Beep.
Review.
Beep.
Whistle. 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 And I'm like, can we play the basketball game? Like, at one point, the game got out of hand, and it was clear the Thunder were going to win the game.
Up by 20, the game's over.
Like, can we just finish
this? I turned it off because I couldn't stand watching it. The game is over, and I don't want to see this foul-baiting whistle fest anymore.
Yeah, there's two things here. One, that's one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen as a basketball fan. I don't like to make that a topic, but that was truly one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
Well, the Lakers already made that a topic, so it's already a topic.
Well, there's no doubt, and I don't blame them for that. But the follow-up to this is, like, some of the flopping and flailing going on, it's reaching comically awful levels.
Yes.
Chet, I didn't see this in real time, but Chet had a play.
Oh, I did. I was yelling at my television when they showed the replay.
So DeAndre Ayton, we got the ball in the post. He turned. He got an easy bucket, and Chet flips his face. Almost lost my headphones again. Flips his face up, holds his mouth, falls to the ground. Offensive foul. And I'm like, oh, he got him on the nose.
How about that?
And then you watch the replay and you're like,
no contact.
None.
Didn't even touch his face at all. And he was holding his face as if he threw an uppercut to his jaw.
I don't know what
to
do about
this. There was one where LeBron was just trying to get into the motion offensively. Caruso is standing at the three-point line, doesn't move out of the way, isn't planning on moving with LeBron. He's just standing there. LeBron nudges him and bumps him. Caruso falls to the ground. Offensive foul the other way. And he's like, I'm just trying. He's standing in my way, and I'm trying to get into the motion of the offense. This is where, look, I don't watch as much regular season basketball. I think anybody who listens to the show knows that. This is where I roll my eyes a lot, because when people who watch a lot of basketball talk to me about it, it's Oklahoma City plays a beautiful brand.
Well, okay.
And then I turn this on, and I'm like, man, I've seen him play 3 games all regular season. This is beautiful to you?
I've seen him play 3 games.
Like, the 2 times, or the whatever, how many times they smoked us this year, or the one we randomly beat him once. I know that.
Are those the only Thunder games you watch?
Yes. I'm not watching any other Thunder games. And then I turn it on in the playoffs, and I'm like, what am I missing?
Can I slightly defend here?
Go ahead, buddy.
As I'm also joining you in I really don't like this.
Yes, you're in my pool now.
As many moments as I'm sitting here getting frustrated and pissed off, I am watching like a 12-0 run, and I'm telling my kid, like, this is how you play basketball. And it is. It's ball movement. It's pacing.
I got fouled. Sorry.
Well, but then they do that. I'm not refuting that. But when
somebody shot SGA in the chest as he was going for a bucket last night. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Like a sniper from the top of the stadium just took him out. I couldn't believe it. Arms are flailing backwards.
When they're
wild
not
stuff,
flopping
dude.
And flailing, I mean, it really truly is beautiful basketball.
So when they're not doing the most annoying thing humanly possible on a basketball floor, that literally everybody with a moral code as an athlete should refuse
if
to do.
If you did this to me at the park, we would honestly have
to
be broken up. We'd fight.
I would yell.
I'd basketball fight. I'm pushing you. You're pushing
me back. Hold
me back. Now I'm cursing at you.
I'm throwing a ball at you, maybe.
You know what I mean? And we're going to end up dapping up at the end of the game.
I'm not actually going to fight you, but I'm aggressively trying to get through my hold me back, bro, after you for flopping the way that you flop.
Dude, I'm a great basketball fight guy. You want somebody in your team that's going to basketball fight? I'm your guy.
I'm a great hold back guy.
Now, UFC fight? Yeah. I'm running. We're getting out of here. I'm not getting in the face. I got a phobia of that.
Basketball fight, though.
Basketball fight, dude. I will talk a little less in your face. We will push. I will try to charge. When you hold me back, you'll think I'm going to fight the other guy.
It's like the video of the two dogs barking through the fence, and then they open up the fence, and they just stop barking.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly right.
You're lucky this fence is here. Wait, the fence is gone?
It's just
I'm
like,
just kidding, man.
They don't have
to do it. That's why I hate them with every fiber of my being.
SGA's not even been good in this series.
No.
They were plus 18 when he was on the bench.
Yeah.
Because he got in foul trouble.
They had 3 guys who shot a combined like 80% from 3 off the bench and combined for 40 points. Like, cool.
My kid was, she's a big SGA fan.
Yeah.
Because he's hot. And she's rooting for Oklahoma City because he's hot. And I'm sitting there rooting for LeBron. And I'm getting really annoyed. She can hear me, like, commenting. And then they go on this big run, and I'm like, damn, dude. And I turn to her, and I go, you know, when they're not annoying me, they do show you they can play beautiful basketball. And then I walk through how they built their team, and then Jared McCain starts going off. And I go, you know who that guy is? That was going to be the rookie of the year. And then he got hurt, sat the rest of the season, didn't quite get right last year. Philadelphia just straight quit on him.
Yeah, we're done.
And took like 3 second-round picks, and look at him. He's like the 15th guy on their team.
Yes, he
is. And he's got 18 points.
Oh, you want to go for 18 tonight? Okay, sounds good.
They're legitimately 12 to 13 players deep. Yeah. It is an embarrassment of riches.
Which is why they don't have to do this.
And it's also an embarrassment to watch them play sometimes. It's disgusting. I hate it. And something needs to be done. You want to fix tanking? Why don't you fix the flopping problem? Start finding these bad boys. It's annoying.
Amen, man. That's why it's one thing for a bad team to do this and to try and find an edge against a good team. It's another for, analytically speaking,
one of the best teams.
One of the best teams we've ever seen in the history of the NBA do this to try and get an edge when they don't need to.
They don't need to, but they're up 2-0, and then the series goes back tomorrow in L.A. Loaded second hour of the radio program, Dirt and Sprague, on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.